Chapter 10. Darrow. Liberty Eternal. Severo squirms on the white cushion next to me as Publius Sue Caraval, the Copper Tribune, leader of the Copper Bloc, finishes the roll call. He's an elegant firebrand of a man, middle-aged, small of stature, with a narrow, pleasant face, a large nose, cold eyes, and an ambivalence toward fashion that borders on antagonism. When he's not in his toga, he still wears the same drab suits he did as a public low-colour defence lawyer before the war. Since then, he's risen to become a voice of reason in the divided Senate, and an occasional ally of my wife's. They call him the Incorruptible for his punctilious nature and lack of vices. Caraval stands on a small circular plinth before the tiered C-shaped marble steps that encircle the white and red porphyry floor. Small wooden chairs are set for each senator on the steps. Behind Caraval, recessed from the plinth, squats the unadorned mourning chair of the sovereign. Made of white wood carved with simple geometric designs, the chair looks dreadfully uncomfortable and is without cushion. Mustang had it removed. She leans against one of the arms of the chair and watches the senators. They sit, clustered by colour and political affiliation, upon the cushioned steps. Dancers vox populi to the left of the huge liberty doors that lead out of the forum to the steps and the Via Triumphia. Mustang's optimates sit to the right. Obsidian and copper centrists occupy the middle. Bored by the formality, Severo lounges beside me in crisp military whites. He's staring at the ceiling, infatuated by the mural there. It is a romantic rendering of the Phobos address, my speech that launched the rising on Phobos 10 years ago. I look young and radiant in paints of gold and scarlet and float on grav boots, cape billowing behind me like a magenta storm cloud, flanked by howlers, the sons of Ares, and Ragnar, even though he wasn't exactly there. Severo's jaw clenches. That doesn't look anything like me. He nods to his own image. He's right. The eyes of the rendering are blood red and insane. His hair standing on end. His teeth look like rows of shattered porcelain. You look like a bloody saint, ploughed an angel, and out you popped. I look like a deranged fucking mutant that eats babies. I pat Severo on the leg. Mustang catches my eye and nods up to the last of the red senators who have just entered the room. Dancer shuffles along at the head of the procession of my people to their seats. He feels my eyes and meets them without a smile. Even knowing he's my adversary of the day, it's hard not to feel fondness for him. With the roll call finalized, I turn my attention to Mustang. A quorum being present, the floor will now hear the scheduled petition. She looks to me. Arch Imperator. The sound of my boots on stone echoes through the Senate chamber as I go to take my place on the plinth facing the senators. I spy Daxa, who sits surrounded by his fellow gold senators on the far right. He looks like a statue of some pagan god in repose, though I know he's still nursing as monstrous a hangover as I am. Only when the tension has reached its pinnacle do I finally speak. Mercury is liberated. The right half of the senators, along with the coppers, led smoothly by Caraval, roar their approval. The First Fleet of the Republic, under the command of Imperator Orion Z. Aquarii, met that of the Ash Lord over Mercury, while the Second Fleet, under my personal command, launched an iron rain against the continent of Borealis. Through high cost, we prevailed. The high-color senators lead the room to their feet again, roaring their fanatical support for the war effort. The vox populi remain silent, and so I notice to the obsidians.
Now the Ash Lord is in retreat. He has recalled the greater sum of his forces to make a final stand at Venus. But soon we will follow. Brothers and sisters, we stand upon the threshold of victory.
It is a full minute before the renewed applause dies down.
But we yet have a choice to make.
I take my time, allowing the silence to grow again.
Do we allow this war to linger, to consume another generation of our young? Or do we press the enemy and grind them until the last of the chains have been shattered?
I speak over the applause this time, letting the fervor spread through me.
It has been a decade of war, but we can end it here, now.
I spare a look up to the viewing deck above, where the Hollow Networks have their cameras. My enemy will be watching this later with his daughter and advisers, his nimble mind dissecting my words, divining my plans based on the response of these senators. But more importantly, he'll be watching me. He must not see my exhaustion. Mercury was a great victory. We robbed him the iron of his docks. But Venus? Venus is the prize. Even here, amidst the thunderous applause of the rite, I hear Lorne's words echo in the dark place of my mind. Death begets death begets death.
Brothers and sisters of the Republic, we are one choice away from a fully liberated core, a free system from Sol to the asteroid belt. We would be the first men and women to ever see it. But it will be a sight not without cost.
I pause and permit, for one small moment, the weight of these last years to show on my face.
Like you, I wish for nothing more than peace. I wish for a world where the machine of war does not swallow our young.
I look to my wife.
I wish to live in a world where my child can choose his own destiny, where the sins of the past do not define the nature of his life, as it has defined all of ours. Our enemies have held dominion over us for too long, first as slaves, then adversaries.
And what stability, what harmony can we bring to the worlds we have freed while they continue to define us?
For the sake of our brothers and sisters on Venus and Mercury,
I look to Dancer,
for the sake of the souls we have unchained, for the sake of our children, give me the tools and I will finish this war once and for all.
They roar in approval.
I look to Daxo and, as we agreed, he stands to tower over his fellow senators. My noble friends,
his large hands splay plaintively outward.
I know you are weary. I feel the years of war in my bones, too. I believe I had hair when this all began.
There's laughter.
I know better than you the heart of the peerless Skard. They do not have the spirit for peace. It is not in their nature to accept this new world we have made. They must be defeated by all measures at our disposal. My family has supported the Reaper since before he was known. My brother died for him. I have fought for him, and I will not abandon him now. Nor should you. The Optimates stand with the Reaper, and we propose a bill to the floor for a resolution of liberty eternal to draft 20 million fresh troops, to allocate ships from the Gulf, and to levy additional taxes to fund the war effort until the core is free.
Daxo sits back down and makes a pained expression in my direction and rubs his temple.
Publius Su Carvajal rises from his seat when the applause finally fades. His short copper hair is parted on the side, not a strand out of place. I was told I was brought into this world to serve, to move the invisible levers of an ancient and evil machine. We all moved those levers. But now we serve the people. We are here to liberate the dignity of man. Darrow of Lycos is our greatest weapon against tyranny. Let us sharpen him again so he can break the chains for our brothers and sisters in bondage on Venus.
He touches his heart, bleeding empathy and resolution. A chorus of senators declare their support, each shouting over the next.
Mustang stands, hammering down her dawn scepter. The resolution is registered by the Senate and now open for debate.
All eyes turn to Dancer.
He has not yet moved.
Mustang analyzes his face.
Senator O'Farran, she says. Nothing.
Thank you, my sovereign.
He picks at the edges of his toga in his nervous habit before rising to his feet. To this day he loathes public speaking. His voice is hoarse and halting, as far from Publius's as possible.
Arch-Imperator, my friend, my brother, can I first begin by saying how happy I am to have you home? There is no greater son of the Republic.
Many heads nod.
I would also like to personally offer you congratulations on the partial liberation of Mercury. Despite your methods, which I will get to in a spit.
I watch him warily, knowing what he intends, but not how it's meant to be delivered.
You all know I am a man of war.
He looks at his rough hands.
I have held weapons. I have led men. It's what I am. And, like most of you, I am also a mortal in a war of giants.
He looks at the golds, the obsidians.
But I have learned that giants can be felled with words. Words are our salvation. So, I stand here before you, armed only with that voice.
He pauses, grimacing to himself.
And I want to ask you, what age do you want to live in? One where the sword leads and we follow? Or an age where our voice can sing louder than an engine can roar? Was that not the song of Persephone? The dream of Io of Lycos?
There are murmurs of agreement from his supporters. An inner bitterness wells as he insinuates my deviation from Io's dream. She was mine, and I lost her to them. But each time she's mentioned, even in reverence, it seems to me as though she's been dug from the ground and paraded for the crowd.
Senators, we have no power in and of ourselves.
Dancer continues slowly.
We are just vessels, men and women chosen to speak for the people, by the people, to channel their voice to protect the people. Darrow, you helped give the people a voice. For that, we are in your debt. But now, you refuse to listen to that voice, to obey the laws you helped make. You are given an order by the Senate, by the people, to stand down over Mercury. You disobeyed that order. You released an iron rein.
He looks to Sephi. She sits several seats down from Severo on the guest benches, watching with an unreadable expression.
Because of your impatience, a million of our brothers and sisters died in a single day. 200,000 obsidians. 200,000. a number that cannot be replaced.
The words are heavy as they fall, and I see the solemn anger of the obsidian block, the same anger I've felt from Sephi since that day.
Not only did you do this, but you illegally pillaged elements of the Fourth Fleet that guards Mars to add to your assault on Mercury. Why? Because it was necessary to 1 million souls.
I knew 37 of those souls, and somehow that number seems larger than 1 million.
A man once said that a war fought by politicians will be lost by everyone, I say bitterly. Harnassus and Orion supported my plan. Your legions have protected you this far, but now you question them? Our legions, he asks. Are they ours?
Before I can answer, he lumbers forward, wrangling control of the conversation with all the grace of an old bear.
How many of us have lost loved ones to war? How many of us have buried sons, daughters, wives, husbands? My hands are raw from digging graves. My heart shatters seeing genocide and starvation on planets we claim free. On Mars, my home. How many more must suffer to free Mercury and Venus, planets now so indoctrinated that our own colours will fight against us for every inch of ground we take? So long as Mars is free, you're content to call it a day? Leave the others to rot, I ask.
He looks me in the eyes.
Is Mars free? Ask a red from the mines. Ask a pink in Aegea's ghetto. The yoke of poverty is as heavy as that of tyranny.
Mustang interjects. We have a solemn duty to rid the worlds of the stain of slavery. Your own words, Senator.
We also have a solemn duty to make those worlds better than they were before,
Dancer replies.
200 million have died since House Loon fell. Tell me, what is the purpose of victory if it destroys us? If we are stretched so thin that we cannot protect or provide for those we bring out of the mines?
There are no weapons in the room, save those of Wolfgar and his warden. But Dancer's words do damage enough. They rattle the Senate Hall, and he's not finished.
Darrow, you stand here asking us for more men and women, more ships to wage this war. So I ask you, and pray to the old man who guards the veil, that you can give me an answer. When will this war end? When the Republic is safe. Will it be safe when the Ash Lord falls? When we have Venus? The Ash Lord is the heart of their war machine. But he rules with fear. Without him, the remaining gold houses will turn on each other within a week. And what of the Rim? What if they come and we've smashed our armies to bits to kill one man?
We have a peace treaty with the Rim.
For now.
Their docks are destroyed. Octavia saw to that. The Star Hall analysts believe they could not attack us, even if they wanted to, for another 15 years,
Mustang says.
Romulus does not want another war, I say. Trust me on that. Trust you?
My old friend frowns.
We have trusted you, Darrow.
I feel the same anger in him that I saw when he learned of what I did to the sons on the Rim.
So many have trusted you. For so many years. But you're in love with your own myth. You think that the Reaper knows better than the people. You think I want war? I loathe it. It's stolen my friends, my family. It takes me away from my wife, from my child. If there were another path, I would take it. But there is no path around this war. The only way is through.
He watches me for a moment.
I wonder, would you even know peace if you saw it?
He turns to the senators.
What if I told you? What if I told all of you there was another path? One that has been hidden from us?
Caraval frowns and leans forward. Severo glances my way.
What if we could have safety not tomorrow, not a decade from now, but right this very moment? Peace without another iron rain, without throwing millions more into the guns of the Ashlord.
He turns to my wife.
My sovereign, I invoke my right to present a witness to the Senate body.
She's caught off guard.
What witness?
Dancer doesn't answer. He looks expectantly down the corridor to his right. At the end of it, a door opens, and a lone set of heels click against the stone floor. In hushed silence, the senators crane their necks to see a tall, imperious woman of later years striding out of the corridor into the Senate hall. She stands a head taller than the Republic wardens, excepting Wulfgar, as she passes on the way to the center of the floor. Her eyes are gold, her body serene and slight despite her height. Her hair is spun behind her and caged by gold mesh. A gold collar in the shape of an eagle encloses her neck. Her gown is black and covering every bit of skin from her neck to her toes. And upon her regal, bitter face is a single curved scar. I glare at the woman. She has been shadow to my life ever since I beat her favorite son to death in a simple stone room 16 years ago. Now she comes to stand before the Senate.
What is the meaning of this?
Mustang demands, rising from her chair to dominate the room. Dancer does not back down.
This is Julia Aubalona,
he says against the rising furore.
She brings a message from the Ash Lord.
Senator!
Anger flushes Mustang's face, and she takes a violent step forward.
That is not your place. Foreign diplomacy is the province of the sovereign. You overstep.
So does your husband. But do you scold him? He asks. Hear what she has to say. You will find it illuminating.
The senators shout their desire to hear Bellona out. Dread enters me. I know what Julia will say. Mustang is trapped. She looks down at the woman, both the remnants of two great gold houses that destroyed one another in their feud. Of their families, only Cassius remains. If he is still alive, somewhere out there.
Say your piece, Bellona.
Julia looks up at Mustang with utmost distaste. She's not forgotten how Mustang sat at their table with Cassius and then turned her back on them.
Usurper,
she says, refusing to use Mustang's honorific. Her eyes look upon the senators with aristocratic disdain.
I travelled a month to stand before you. I will speak plainly so you understand. The Ash Lord tires of war, of seeing cities turned to rubble.
She continues over shouts of protest.
During the siege of Mercury, emissaries, including myself, were sent to the Morning Star to seek audience with your warlord.
She glares at me.
We asked for an armistice. He replied with an iron rein.
Armistice?
Mustang murmurs.
And why did you request an armistice?
Dancer prompts over the whispering senators.
The Ash Lord and the War Council of the Society wish to discuss terms.
What terms?
Dancer presses.
Speak plainly, Gold.
Did the Reaper not tell you?
She looks at me and smiles.
We requested a ceasefire in order to discuss the terms of a permanent and lasting peace between the Rising and the Society.